May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn 391. Jesus, friend of sinners, hear a feeble creature pray. From my debt of sin set clear, for I have naught to pay. Speak, O speak, my kind release. A poor backsliding soul restore. Love me freely, seal my peace, and let me rove no more. Hymn 391.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God, we'll read together the Gospel according to Luke chapter 8. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 8. And we'll read to the end of verse 40. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, "Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee." And he answered and said unto them, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine, feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And may God bless that reading of his holy word. May he teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we seek to draw near unto thee in prayer, thanking thee, gracious God, for that way made, whereby poor sinners such as we may approach unto a holy, 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 almighty God in heaven. We thank thee for that new and living way through the precious blood and righteousness of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for thy beloved Son and that way made and that access that we have in and through him. And though we are of a sinful race, and though our sins are many, yet we find in him an acceptance before thee. And we seek, most gracious God, that we might know some access now. We might know some liberty in prayer. That, Lord, we may be enabled by thy grace to come in that right way. Lord, we do pray that our hearts, our minds might be solemnized for the worship of thy great and holy name this evening. We pray, Lord, that inferior things may be laid aside. Those cares of this life which are not necessary for us to consider may be set aside. Those things of tomorrow and next week and the unknown way may have their rightful place, and that we may come and worship thee. Grant us, Lord, that we may worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, how needful we are of thy mercy in these things. Lord, how needful we are of God-given faith. For, Lord, we cannot please thee except we worship thee in faith. Everything, Lord, is a mockery. Everything comes short of the glory of God. Oh, we would seek to be drawn by thy power, that thou lift us and raise us up. Lord, we do pray that our affections may be set on things above. We pray, Lord, that our besetting sins may be set aside. Truly, Lord, help us to lay aside every weight and that sin which does so easily beset us. And, Lord, help us and enable us to run our race with patience, looking unto Jesus. Oh, we would see Jesus. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may be like those Greeks of old who came to thy disciples with that desire, sirs, we would see Jesus. Lord, thou knowest the desires of our hearts. Thou knowest, Lord, those that are hungering and thirsting this evening. There are those, Lord, who thou knowest, Lord, the hearts of those who are finding an aching void the world cannot fill. Those, Lord, who want something of substance, something eternal, something from thee. Lord, thou knowest those, Lord, who are seeking and hoping to find a portion for their souls. Thou knowest, Lord, those who have found no satisfaction in the things of this life, have only found disappointment. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that it might please thee to satisfy thy poor with bread this evening, that thou break the bread of life among us. Lord, we pray that thou touch the aching heart, and Lord, that thou revive those that are drooping, that thou wilt lift up the downcast. Lord, that thou wilt restore the wanderers. Lord, we do pray that the beggars might be satisfied and the hungry souls might be filled. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt have mercy upon us. We meet in this way. Lord, it's a way which we are becoming used to in this year. A separation from thy earthly courts. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt have pity upon us. Lord, we have sinned. We have grieved thee. We feel at times to be driven out of thy house. Oh, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, and grant us thy salvation, most gracious Lord. Oh, restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Bring us back into the house of prayer soon, we pray. Grant, Lord, that we may not neglect the assembling of ourselves together. Lord, that we may not become used to this form of worship. We thank thee that we have, in this period of lockdown, a form of worship. But may we not be satisfied with this absence from the courts of the Lord. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou art gather us again in thy house of prayer. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt turn and shine and smile upon us as churches and as a nation. We have departed. We have grieved thy spirit. Oh, we pray in much wrath, remember mercy and turn again our captivity. Lord, we pray to be delivered from the power of sin and Satan. Sin shall not have dominion over you, says the word of God. But at times, Lord, we find sin mixed with all that we do. Oh, we find, Lord, a heart that's divided. Oh, we find, Lord, a mind that wanders. We find ourselves at times of the earth earthy. We, Lord, need thy reviving power. We need the power of thy Holy Spirit to be poured out upon us. Lord, turn the desert into a fruitful land. Lord, turn it into that fruitful forest. Lord, may we be trees of righteousness. May we be the planting of the heavenly gardener, the right-hand planting of the Father in heaven. O Lord, we pray, come amongst us even this night. And Lord, do pour out thy Spirit upon us. Oh, that the Holy Spirit may take us the things of Jesus. We might know them personally revealed to us. We might hear thy voice. Lord, we long to hear thy voice. Oh, Lord, be not silent to us, lest if thou be silent to us, we become like them that go down into the pit. Oh, but may we be amongst thy sheep who hear thy voice. And thou didst say, I know them, and they follow me. Make us true followers of thee, imitators of thee, made willing to identify with thee and thy people. May we not count the cost, but may we be made willing to take up our cross and follow thee, despising the shame. Lord, do help us. We do pray for a spirit of true worship this evening, for thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our many failings. Lord, our sins testify against us, and yet thy mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. O Lord, we have so much to praise and thank thee for. Thy mercies know no end. And in this dark and evil day in which we live, thou hast permitted a few poor sinners to meet around thy word this evening. Grant us, Lord, the liberty and life and light of thy children. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou touch our hearts with love divine and grant us those tokens for good. May we have something to hang in our windows, as it were, as Rahab we spoke of this morning, bound that scarlet line in her window. May we have something from thee, Lord, we pray, a true token. Grant us something, Lord, to go on our journey with. Some tokens of thy love, thy particular love, thy favour. So have mercy upon us, we pray. Be with any, Lord, with a difficult week before them, with mountains in their way, with hard things. Be with those, Lord, who are suffering illnesses. Lord, we do pray, restoring mercies. Grant, Lord, the healing. May it be a Jehovah Rophi, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Lord, heal in body and in soul. May the things that we pass through, afflictions, troubles, our pathway of life, be sanctified and used for the good of our souls. Teach us, Lord, those lessons which are vital, which are needful. Lord, do reveal to us ourselves and reveal thyself. Lead us to Christ, our only rest. Oh, may we know his rich blessing. Bless us with the riches of his grace. Oh, Lord, we do pray. Have mercy upon the children, Lord. Grant them, Lord, an understanding. Open their young minds. Lord, may they receive thy word in faith. Grant wisdom and grace to parents. Help us to bring up our children in that right way. Help us to live our lives in that as a right example before our children. Lord, may we not bring reproach. Oh, may we not live a double life. But grant, Lord, that we may be as Nathaniel, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. So help us, Lord, that we may be what we say we are. And Lord, do grant us strength and grace to continue. Be with, Lord, those who seek to know their sins forgiven. We pray, Lord, that they may know that peace in believing, the pardon of sin, the rolling away of the burden of guilt, the taking away of all condemnation. Lord, bring relief to those that mourn and sigh and cry under the weight of sin. Lord, do hear the prayer of the destitute. Oh, Lord, and do not despise their prayer. Have mercy upon our aged friends, Lord, as the evening time of life is upon them. May their evidences be clear. May they be looking, watching, waiting for thy appearing. O Lord, may their latter days prove to be their best days spiritually. And though heart and flesh fail, may they be resting on those things which are eternal and the word of God which stands forever. Bless us, Lord, with a leading into thy word. Help us now as we turn to it. O Lord, we pray, grant the power and unction of thy Spirit to attend the preaching of thy word. Seal it into our hearts in power. And may all the glory be to thy holy name. Lord, lay the sinner low, and may a precious Christ be exalted. Have mercy upon us, then, we pray, and empty, send us not away. We ask, Lord Jesus, for that cleansing, the washing, and the renewing of our souls. Lord, we pray to be clothed in that robe of righteousness, and seal our pardon into our hearts. Forgive our every sin. Anything we've asked, Lord, which we shouldn't have, we pray, forgive. Those things we failed to ask for, Lord, grant according to thy mercy and favour. And take away all our sins, we ask, Lord Jesus, in thy precious name. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 698. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? Hymn 698.
My soul, my dust calls.
Will you turn with me to the chapter we read, Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from the first part of verse 25. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, and the opening part of verse 25. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, the opening part of verse 25. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? This is a question. Question asked by the Lord Jesus to his disciples who were with him in the ship. Where is your faith? It was a rebuke. Really, the sense of the word is, have you no faith? Where is it? They were fearful. They were overcome with fear. Having entered into the ship to set sail to the other side, with the Lord Jesus in the ship with them, he falls asleep, and a storm descends on the lake. And we read together that they were filled with water. The boat was filled with water, or beginning to fill with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him. Well, if we turn briefly to Mark's gospel, he records a little more of the things that were spoken. In Mark's gospel, chapter 4, we read how they addressed him in verse 38. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, what a question. What a question in the heat of the moment of fear. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Sitting in our homes this evening, in the comfort of our homes, we can quickly point fingers at this poor prayer of the disciples here. We can come up with all manner of accusations against them and reasons why they shouldn't have spoken in this manner. But we lack the understanding of the position they were in. They were in a great storm. The waves were and the wind was creating a difficult storm for them. We're told that the waves were beating into the ship so that it was now full. Jesus was asleep in the ship. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Every other man on the ship was overcome with fear. The onlooker looking at the Lord Jesus asleep in the hinder part of the ship would seem to be a careless spirit, a careless action, feeling in jeopardy. Oh, may the Lord help us and watch us in our times of fear. When we're overcome with fear, oh, how we must be on our guard. We can utter some unguarded comments. Oh, we can pray in an unguarded way. May the Lord keep us from a spirit of being overcome with fear. It has no place, does it, in the heart and mind of a true believer. If our hearts are full of the love of Christ, if we know something of the Lord Jesus, his person, his finished work? Should we be overcome with fear? Oh, what an increase of faith we need, don't we? And none of us really do we attain to this this standard. Oh, Master, carest thou not that we perish? An unguarded prayer, but one which the Lord was gracious in answering. He arose and rebuked the wind, said, "Peace, be still." And we get the sense of it, of that, "Where is your faith?" We get a sense of it from Mark's account, in verse 40, he says unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Why is it? Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Oh, I wonder how we are in our times of distress. When the Lord permits a storm to come into our lives, when those things rise up in our lives which seem against us, times of trouble and difficulty and distress, are we overcome with fear? Do we cast aside our little faith, give ourselves to a spirit of being overcome with fear? How often we have to prove, don't we, that we fear where no fear is? Oh, we have on the one hand one who exaggerates, the father of lies, Satan himself, who takes the distresses in our lives and amplifies them and creates more of a storm than there indeed is. And how willing our poor sinful hearts are to take his part, to listen to him, and to give ourselves over to a spirit of fear. And we fear at times where no fear is. And they said unto them, and they were filled with water and in jeopardy, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, we perish." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he says unto them, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" When the storm is settled, when there's a great calm, or when there is some thought, some true thoughts, when reason is given place to, could they perish with the Son of God in the ship with them? Would it be permitted that they should perish with the Son of God in the boat with them? Where is the clarity of thought? Swallowed up, isn't it, in fear? Swallowed up in the waves. It's swept away in this wind. Where is your faith? You know, friends, reading our reading together this evening, those words struck me in the beginning of verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes. And they must do. They must do. Oh, what a purpose there was in this crossing of the lake. And they arrived. It was in no doubt. It was one of those eternal purposes of Almighty God. Oh, he had a soul to be delivered, a soul to be saved amongst the tombs in the country of the Gadarenes. A madman, a man full of many devils. Legion was his name. And the appointed time had come. Oh, there was a period known to God. And there is a period known to God when all his sheep redeemed by blood shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold and enter in. And it was his set time. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes. And whether it was Satan who kicked up the storm over that lake, we're not told. It's not necessary for us to know. But what we do know is that nothing can stop the almighty power and work of God. It is invincible grace. Everyone, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, not one of his sheep, not one of the lost sheep of the household of Israel will be lost forever. All of them will be quickened and saved by grace. Not one of them will perish, not one of them will be left out, though however scattered across the world they might be, however hopeless and helpless their case may seem, however deep and far off they might be, however deep in sin they may be, yet none can withstand the power of Almighty God. And he said unto them, where is your faith? There was great faith displayed in that man. The demonic man, wasn't there? And then when we closing of our reading, when he desired to depart with the Lord in the boat and be with him, the man was told by the Lord Jesus, return to thine own house and show how great things God had done unto thee. And he went his way. Oh, he went, didn't he? At the word of God. He went to witness to those sinners round what a dear Saviour he had found. He went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Oh, that's a living faith that we desire, isn't it? One that is desiring to publish abroad, to make known the many mercies and favours of our God. To not hide our light under a bushel, but to publish abroad, publish throughout the whole city, the great things that Jesus has done. And he said unto them, where is your faith? This evening, the context of it, the question. It would appear the Lord Jesus here is rebuking his disciples. Where is your faith? Why are you so full of fear? As we read in Mark's gospel, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Have you learned nothing? Is nothing being done? The time you have spent with me, have you learned nothing? Have I not made known any of my the power of Almighty God? Have I been so long time with you, and you understand nothing of my love and mercy to you? To question my and reason that I might be careless in my attention, my love, my care, really the Church of God speaking in the book of Isaiah, can a woman, the Lord says, can a woman forget a sucking child? The Church has said, my Lord has forgotten me. My Lord has forsaken me. What's his reply? Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she shall not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Why? Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. My walls are continually before me. Oh, may we humble ourselves and put our mouths in the dust. Oh, when that spirit of unbelief rises up in the day of adversity with us. Oh, when we find things seemingly going against us, and we find a spirit of rebellion, we find a spirit of being hard done by rising up in our hearts, and when we charge God foolishly with carelessness. Oh, may we be found humbling ourselves in the dust. Oh, may we repent in dust and ashes at the many sins that are ours. Oh, can we charge Almighty God with "Carest thou not that we perish?" But we do. Poor sinners we are. Oh, may the Lord help us. May the Lord bless us. We need what the disciples needed. That prayer that they prayed, "Lord, increase our faith." Oh, what a need we have, haven't we, of an increase of faith. How small our faith is. How small it appears. How weak it is. How desperately in need we are of that increase of faith. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" Well, maybe it's a word of correction or rebuke to one or two of us this evening. Maybe we have taken the disciples' part. Maybe we have charged God with overlooking us. We thought he was sleeping while these things took place. Things have happened and we can't understand it. And our spirit, our own spirit, our foolish spirit has risen up in our hearts, and we've charged him with a careless spirit. "Carest thou not that we perish?" Oh, may we be found even this evening seeking that forgiveness. Oh, we're thankful. We are thankful, aren't we, for that crumb of faith that we have, that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Oh, that there is a place for poor sinners, isn't there? Oh, you're thankful for it this evening, the throne of grace, a place where poor ruined sinners might come. Oh, Lord, give me some faith that I might find acceptance, a faith in who it is that sits at the throne of grace, the dear Saviour himself. Well, let me come to thy feet. Let me find that forgiveness. Oh, Lord, let me lay myself low at thy feet, humbled under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" Oh, for a spirit of confession. And for that humble seeking of an increase of faith. And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this?" You know, how needful we are this same teaching, aren't we? It's Christ revealed continually, more and more of him. It is like this in the life of the disciples, more and more as they lived and spent time with the Lord Jesus. There was more that they learnt, more that they knew, more that they learnt. Oh, we need that same teaching. We need the same things revealed to us. Oh, we might know more of him as we pass through the storm and reach the other side of the lake. Well, certainly they knew more of him and more themselves, didn't they? Well, they set off on that ship. Well, there was something to be shown of themselves, wasn't there? their own lack of faith to be revealed, their own foolishness, their own weakness. And, oh, what a sweet revelation of the dear Saviour there was. For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. What manner of man is this? Oh, to fall down and worship him. That's what it is, isn't it? Worshipping him, confessing our sin, and worshipping him. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Another way I'd like to look at this evening is the question as it stands, where is your faith? Maybe you think it's a strange question, slightly out of context, where is your faith? But where is your faith this evening? Do you have faith? I believe everyone has faith. We all have faith. Children grow up, they learn to put their trust in their parents. We exercise faith every day. We have our faith in many things. Children have faith in their parents as they know more and more as they grow up and find an understanding of who their parents are. And as their parents demonstrate daily the care that they have and show them love, then trust is built and love is built. And then they have faith and put faith in their parents. And we put faith in many things. We may out of lockdown, we may get on a train, and we make judgments. We take a train or a bus, we catch a flight, and we put our faith in the person who is driving or piloting the plane. And we put our trust in him or her. We assume sometimes that they're qualified. They wear a uniform. They're in at the seat of the controls. We trust they can manage and do what we need them to. And so we put our trust in them. We put our faith in them. When we're born and we grow up, we, as unrepentant, unregenerate sinners, naturally, as a natural man and woman, boy and girl, we have faith in ourselves. Or we are continually trusting our own wisdom. Naturally speaking, by nature, we trust our own judgment, our own wisdom. And we make judgments on things, and assumptions are made, and we put our trust, our faith in our own strength, bodily, mentally. And so in many aspects of our lives, we have and are using faith. Where is your faith this evening? I wonder if there are those this evening who their faith is in themselves, or faith is in other people. All you've been shown and taught in your life so far is to have faith in your own ability, your own wisdom, your own strength. Or you have found and been taught to put your trust in others, men, doctors, nurses, teachers, others. And you've been satisfied up to this point. Your faith has only been in yourself or fellow mankind. You know nothing of what true saving faith is. Where is your faith? It's a solemn thing if we pass through life And we're never shown anything other than ourselves and others. We learn nothing of the things of God. Oh, we can come to chapel, we can read the Word of God, but know nothing of God. The Apostle Paul writes, doesn't he, of faith in to the Hebrews in that chapter 11. And he says this in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God, this is. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, must believe that he is. Now, if you and I are to have a relationship with God, if we are to be brought into a knowledge of God, we'd have to have faith in God. We must believe who he is. It's why it's remarkable this morning in reading of Rahab. She knew who God was, the Lord God of Israel, God over heaven and earth. Her faith may have been small. Faith is small in its beginnings. And what an increase of faith is needed as we journey through life. But it does begin with that believing in God, believing who he is. Where is your faith this evening? We're not asking how much faith we have. We always lack faith. Oh, we have need of an increase of faith. But it'd be wonderful if you and I can trace out some beginnings of faith in God. That we have an understanding. That we've been taught by God. That God is revealed to us. That ourselves are revealed. We need those two things to be taught, don't we? We need to know something of ourselves, our needs as sinners, our weaknesses, how insufficient we are, how lacking in wisdom we are, or how that by nature we haven't pleased God. We've sinned and grieved him. We've accumulated a huge amount of sin. And the wages of those sin is death. We've transgressed, we've broken his commandments. We've rebelled against God, our maker. Oh, that we might have an understanding of our sin. What vital need it is. Where is your faith? All the time that you think you're something, your faith won't be fully in that right place. You see, there is saving faith. There's faith in many gods. I can show you, many who have great faith. But the point is, where is their faith? Well, they have a great quantity of faith. Some are martyring themselves in faith. There are many in this world who demonstrate great faith, but it isn't saving. But where is your faith? Or is it in yourself and your own righteousness? Are you amongst those that are satisfied with their own selves? Self-satisfied. Satisfied with a form of religion. Satisfied that your mind, your heart is satisfied because you're looking at others and you think you're better than them. And so you're satisfied that you're not as others are. Like that Pharisee who prayed with himself and thanked God that he wasn't like others are and not like that publican, satisfied with his own religion and a form of worship. Where is your faith? That the just shall live by his faith. And Paul speaks of his faith in Galatians chapter 2. He says in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, Paul was stripped of any hope in himself. He confessed he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But the Lord met him. And the Lord stripped him of any hope in himself. Oh, and he was brought repentant to the feet of Jesus. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Oh, he was emptied, wasn't he? In those days when he was struck with blindness following the Lord, meeting him on the road to Damascus. Oh, what a stripping there was of Paul. What an emptying of himself. What a pouring in of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Oh, to be emptied of self. If your heart is to be filled with faith, hope and charity or love, oh, the Lord will have to empty you first. Emptied of yourself and any hope in yourself. To see yourselves, your righteousness, even the best things that you've done are filthy rags. They cannot meet the standard that God expects and demands. We sinned and come short of the glory of God. But who can know it except the Lord reveal? Oh, then, what a need we have of this vital teaching, a bringing down, an emptying, a bringing to his feet. Where is your faith? The wonderful thing this evening, if you can answer this question, and your answer to the question is, well, I believe it's in the Lord Jesus. Where is your faith? It's in the Lord Jesus. No, I can't trust in anything I've done. My best is stained and dyed with sin. My all is nothing worth. Oh, I've got nothing good to plead. Oh, it is, beloved friends, a distressing experience to be shown something of our sin, our sinnership. It is a humbling thing to be stripped and to be emptied, but it's a vital thing. The hymn writer says, nothing in my hand I bring. Oh, it is, isn't it, to come empty. No, but it is to have that knowledge that to whom you come empty to is one who will have pity and mercy upon you. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Oh, the poor trembling sinner who applies himself to the Lord Jesus, who cannot so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smites upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's casting his anchor. into that which is in within the veil, whither the forerunner is false, entered even Jesus. Where is your faith? Oh, to say it's in the Lord Jesus. I've cast anchor there. Oh, I feel afar off. Oh, it's a distant anchor that's cast, but it's cast in a sure and certain ground. Oh, all other ground is sinking sand. There's only one sure and certain place to cast your anchor, beloved friends, and it is in Christ Jesus. There's no other suitable place. There is no other place, no other refuge, no other hope, except in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Oh, at times the Lord will buffet us. He'll send a storm, he'll send a wind, there'll be a tempest, there'll be something that assails. And then it's that we pull on the anchor. It's then that we pull and find it sure and certain. Oh, may the Lord blow upon us. May the Lord send storms into our lives. May anyone that's cast their anchor short of Christ, who's missed the spot, who thinks they've found something and yet have nothing, oh, may the Lord reveal it now. Oh, that anchor be shown to be in loose, uncertain ground. And may there be a gathering it in again and a casting it again. Oh, may we seek that sure and certain place, that refuge for sinners that the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. Oh, there's only one sure and certain place for the anchor of the soul to be cast. All other places will give way. Oh, they may feel firm for a season. But oh, to be sure, to be certain. Oh, we need to our understanding. We need the Spirit of the Lord to teach us, to reveal to us. We need the persuasion of Almighty God. Paul says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, that we might be persuaded to not trust in ourselves, our loved ones and fellow man. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, but oh, that we might put our trust in him. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is a sure ground, that sure and certain ground we need. Oh, it is in Christ Jesus and him crucified. He said unto them, where is your faith? Oh, may the Lord bless us each with a spirit of self-examination this evening. Oh, may we have our hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, may it be his life, his death, his resurrection. Oh, may our anchor be cast in the dear Saviour of sinners, the one who shed his precious blood, the one who gave himself for his friends, the one who suffered in the garden, in the judgment hall, and at Calvary. The one who said, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, may a few poor dying sinners this evening be brought to cast their anchor hope within the veil. May they see a precious Christ, a once crucified, now risen, exalted Saviour, and see in him every need met. Oh, to be sick of self and fond of him. Where is your faith? Oh, what a solemn hymn we sang for our middle hymn. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Where is your faith? Oh, may we not be like the spirit of the world. Oh, there is no heaven, no hell. There is no God. That's the faith of the unbeliever. Oh, there is nothing. This is all there is. This is the only thing there is. This life is it. Oh, there's no refuge, is it? Oh, what a poor place for faith that is. How that will be exposed at that solemn and great day. Art thou ready to meet God? Are we? Oh, to have our hope stayed. Oh, to have our anchor cast. Oh, to have our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that the Lord would give us true living faith. Beloved friends, this isn't something we muster up ourselves. Oh, it's something to be prayed for, something to be sought, something to be desired. Oh, that we might seek it from the Lord. He is the giver of all good gifts. Oh, he is the giver of faith. It is a gift from God. Oh, but if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Oh, may we come to that throne of grace, seeking some faith. Give me some faith, Lord, in thee. Lord, increase that faith that's just a crumb, that faith that's so weak, so tried, that seems so fragile. Lord, increase our faith. May it swell with every deliverance, every prayer that's answered. May every turn in providence, every day bring an increase of our faith. May every answer to prayer increase our faith. May every disappointment drive us home and nearer to him. May every cross and every loss bring us to search and to seek and to hunger after more of the knowledge of the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, that we might know him, whom to know is life eternal. And he said unto them, where is your faith? May God help us each to answer this solemn question this evening. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett is expected to preach on Friday evening and Mr. Bernard Burgess next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 630. What foolish worms are we? How prone to start aside and in our troubles flee from Jesus' wounded side, to wait on self or something base instead of trusting sovereign grace. Hymn 630.
Oh, God, don't stop.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.